Log Talk Radio.
Malcolm brought a lot of wisdom, then they turned around and killed him. Then Farrakhan ascended to carry on the mission to get the people out of sick condition. But these politicians give a lot of friction, calling all the contradictions. He's the last that can save the system. They called division, he turned and called a million. Two showed up to listen. He get respect from the bros in prison. White people, even Jews and Christians. When he speak, he's so tremendous. Saving lives is his job description. The work of Jesus is his whole intention. Why you cowards want to crucifix him? Cause he only trying to make a difference. Only trying to make.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
And I'm trying to see separation, damn integration. Got me yelling out, we want reparation. Come to get more land, farms, vegetation. In the struggle, ending my hands-on dedication. Blood, sweat, and tears, building this damn country. 400 years, still get treated unjustly. Worst treatment ever, dealing with the pain and suffering. Man, stand against it, now you wanna come and touch it. Hands off Farrakhan, that's what the people say. You wanna for yourself, cause you wanna keep a slave. Back then, but it's a different revision I see today. Never being equal, me and my people, we seen this brave. And for the seeds that give us no good education, leading those blind, deaf, and dumb until the arm of Satan. Religion is made up, leave us falling, strip us naked. Act too many times, but still you give us naked. Oh, hell, well, I guess we gotta come and take it. Millions more movement, get on the bus, be sure to make it. Oh, hell, well, I guess we gotta come and take it. Millions more movement, get on the bus, be sure to make it.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
1 in 10 million. Praise be to Allah. Praise to the God who raised one for the children, one for the building. Later days we make new. All it takes is 1 in 10 million to break through. One for the king, Malcolm and Farrakhan. When you hit a final call, outcome a marathon. One for the Jesus and one thesis. Hard work and traded, he make it in one piece. One for my flood victims. One for my thugs in the system. One for my bloods and my grips. One for my sisters. One for my peace. And one for the deceased, cause we really miss them. One for the MCT. One for the FOI. One for forever, cause one thing we never die. One for dedication. One for motivation. One cause we only need one thing, reparation.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Hello?
Hello?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ronnie.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam, dear sister. How are you doing?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission, and welcome everyone to Young, Gifted, and Black. I just want to make a brief announcement. Evidently, I learned today that supposedly from our blog talk station, that America in its entirety, our telecommunications system is under attack from people who are in opposition to the impending war with Syria. And so not only is Blog Talk experiencing problems, but also some of our major news stations like CNN and MSNBC and some other places. So we have been having difficulties on the phone so far. I think everyone is on, and I think everyone in the audience can hear us, but I just wanted to forewarn everyone in the event that your call drops. Please write down the call-in number, and I'm speaking to the panelists in particularly. I think you already have it, but it's 646-716. 5971. Okay. So in the event that we lose you, you might have to call back in. I'm in the process now of trying to get Student Minister James on the phone. We lost him, but I'm trying to get him back. But I wanted to welcome everyone to Young Gifted and Black, and of course present our beloved host, Brother Ronnie O'Neill III. So take it away, Brother Ronnie.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard this nation building movement. I am your brother and host, Brother Ronnie O'Neill III, along with our dear sister, Sister Yeteria X, who is your hostess. And I would like to greet you all in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And peace be unto you, dear brothers and sisters and family. And at this time, I would like to open us up in prayer before we get into to introduce our hosts, our panelists. Sorry about that. Okay. So I would ask everybody a manner of prayer. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, surely I have turned myself to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright to him who originated the heavens and the earth. I am not of the polytheists. Surely my prayer and my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the world. No associate has he, and this am I commanded, and am I of those who submit. O Allah, thou art the King. There is no God but thee. Thou art my Lord, and I am thy servant. I have been greatly unjust to myself, and I confess my faults. So grant me protection against all my faults, for none grants protection against faults but thee. And guide me into the best of morals, for none can guide me into the best of morals but thee. And turn away from me the evil and indecent morals, for none can turn away from me the evil and indecent morals but thee. O Allah, bless Muhammad, and bless the true followers of Muhammad, and as thou didst bless Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, surely thou art praised and magnified. O Allah, make Muhammad successful, and make the true followers of Muhammad successful, as thou didst make Abraham and the true followers of Abraham successful, surely thou art praised and magnified. Ameen.
Ameen.
Sure. At this time, we are proud and very honored to present to you Young, Gifted, and Black topic of discussion. Our subject and topic of discussion is Muhammad's Economic Blueprint and Program for Ending Poverty and Want. Also, our panelists on the show tonight, our brother, first of all, I want to start with the sisters. I want to introduce to you Sister Bridget Norvell, and she is out of Orlando, Florida. Sister Bridget, are you on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. How are you doing today, this evening?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We are very honored and pleased to have you. And could you just briefly give the guests and listeners a little more about yourself You know, we know that you are a pastor, and a lot of other different things that you do, graphic designer, you know, a well successful businesswoman. So we would like for you to give, you know, a brief.
Okay. No problem. Okay. I am Pastor Bridget Norvell, and I am a recognized speaker, author, workshop facilitator, parent educator, and ordained pastor, chaplain. I am a nationally known speaker throughout the country. I am also a life transformational coach, entrepreneur, and I have a new book that's out about my autobiography, it's not just my autobiography, but it's also a change. I didn't want to write just about my life, but I also wanted to write that you can follow a pattern of change that I followed for myself to get out of the life that I was in. So my book is called Changed from the Inside Out, and all of my speaking or my parenting has to do with topics that cover mental change, physical change, financial management, political awareness, and professional readiness. So, and that's it.
Wow. That is beautiful, beautiful, you know, life, you know, testimony, and, you know, just, that is a lot of things to be doing, and we applaud you for that, and may Allah continue to bless you on your lifelong journey. Now at this time, we're going to come back to you, sister. Thank you so much for that, and we're going to go on to the brother side of the panelists. We would like to introduce to you our big brother, Brother Minister James Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ronnie. Of course, we extend the greetings to your esteemed panelists, my dear sister. I'm so sorry that I'm tardy in getting on. I just got in, as you well know, as we were traveling together, and I had to get something situated before I could get on the radio. I want to always start out in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but He. We thank Allah for His making Himself known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising up from our midst His Messiah, the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. And that, of course, is our beloved reminder, warner, deliverer, and representative of God and His Christ. And I refer to him as my personal redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm very happy to greet all of you once again and your listening audience as well with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Minister. We are very pleased and honored to have you on as well. And also to our next panelist, Brother Andre Simpson, President and Founder of Young Black Wealth Builders in the local area, in the local Tampa area. Thank you so very much for being on, dear brother. Are you on? Brother Andre?
Hello, I'm there.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, dear brother. How are you doing this evening?
Doing good, doing good. Thank you, sir. Pleasure to be on the call.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to have you, brother. We are very pleased and honored to have you on. I, myself, and Sister Yeteria X is your co-hostess. And also, we would like you to just touch on, you know, just tell our guests and listeners a little about yourself.
Okay, I'll be brief. My name's Andre Simpson. I'm from Rochester, New York. And like you said, I'm president and founder of Young Black Wealth Builders. And just that's just my passion, just for us to build wealth in the black community. That's just my all-out passion. I'm a business owner, and we'll talk more about that. But our goal is to build wealth in the community, in the black community, that can be transferred from one generation to the next. And excited to get into it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we thank you, and thank you again for being on. We are honored and very pleased to have you on, dear brother. And we will get right into some questions to you in just a minute. Okay, before we go into the questions, Sister Yateria, did you have anything you wanted to add or say to the panelists?
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Salam.
Hello.
Just wanted to greet everyone, and you know, I'm excited for this for tonight's discussion. I feel that it's going to be a powerful one. So you know, I'm ready to get it on the road.
That's right.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Sister Yateria. Before we go into our questions, I would like to just address some of the things, the problems, and some of the statistics of our black people and the reasons what brings us to this great discussion of, you know, and brings us to analyze in this program, Muhammad's Economic Blueprint and Program to End Poverty and Want. So just some of the things that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I want to share with you. He said, and one of our study guides, Study Guide 29, or actually Study Guide Part 30 of the Time and What Must Be Done, Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Ending Poverty and Want by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Okay, he said that America's total wealth makes up 13% of the U.S. population, but only a meager, but America's total wealth, out of America's total wealth, blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population, but own a meager 1% of America's total wealth. America's total wealth includes land, buildings, businesses that is on the land. It equals about $65 trillion, and we own 1%, about $650 billion.
Hmm.
I don't think y'all heard me.
Oh, we heard you.
America's total wealth includes land, buildings, business that is on the land. It equals about $65 trillion, and we only own 1% of that, which is about $650 billion. Foreclosure rates, Americans are losing their homes to foreclosure at a rate of 1 million a year. 5 million Americans have lost their homes so far, and the black foreclosure rate is 80% higher than the rate of whites. All of the financial gains made by the black middle class over the last 30 years have now been totally wiped out. Also on the unemployment rate, the official unemployment rate is 7.8%. It is inching downward just a little, but in January of this year, the official rate of blacks shot up over a full point from 13% to 14%. But these numbers are deceptive because some economists say that the unemployment rate for blacks is closer to 30% incarceration rate, and every 15 black men is incarcerated. one in every 15 blacks, wait, oh man, somebody, yeah, one in every 15 black men is incarcerated. That's a 500% increase since 1986. Black-on-black homicide rates, there have been more than a quarter of a million black-on-black homicides since 1976. High school dropout rates, the high school dropout rate among our poorest students approaches 60%. Okay, now to get into poverty rates, the federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour, but nearly 7.7 million people are known as the working poor, workers who have incomes that put them below the poverty line. In several cities, the jobless rate for black men is well over 50%, and for the black teenager, it was over 40%. There are 49 million people, 16% of the American population, who are now in poverty, and 11 million of them are black. Although blacks represent 13% of the general population of the U.S., they represent 28% of the poor population in the country. Now, let me just say that again. Although blacks represent 13% of the general population of the U.S., they represent 28% of the poor population in this country. How could that be? This is the largest number ever recorded. There are 10 million American children in poverty, whereas 39% of black children under the age of 18 live in poverty, and 32% of households headed by single women are poor. There are more than 5 million more women than men who live in poverty. And the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, now you might say, well, man, these are some tough statistics. And he said, if we don't do something about it, they can only get worse. And so I'm going to stop there. There is more, but I'm just going to stop there and see what some of our panelists have to say about some of these rates and what they are trying to do to better our living situations, you know, to better the poverty rates here, you know, for people here in America, but especially for black people here in America. And so also unemployment rates, what will you guys be doing in the future or now? What are you doing now in your movement that will help the unemployment rate and the poverty rate? And I will start with Sister Bridget Novell and see what she has to say.
Well, thank you again, and that's a great question. You said, and let me make sure that I understand the question. The question was,
yes,
what? Go ahead. Can you repeat
yes,
the question?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It is, the question is to see what you guys think about all of the rates that I just read to you, the unemployment rate, the poverty rate, the you know, the rates of how much wealth we own in America. Blacks make up 13% of the population but own a meager 1% of it. And so I just want to see what you guys think about that and what's your insight on it. And also, what will you be doing in your future movements and your movements towards, you know, building wealth and success, you know, for not only for people in America, but especially for black people in America. What will you do to better, you know, employment for our people and also to, you know, better the rates, you know, so that we are not looking so bad and doing so bad in poverty?
Okay. Well, to answer that question, first what I see is the African-American is still asleep. We are sleeping giants that has not woken up yet to understand the power we have within ourselves. Because if we are
the number one targeted people when it comes down to electronics and different things coming out. We should be the ones that's creating these things. And when we do not have the knowledge, the greatest thing is not, you know, one thing we hear the church say or the people say is the devil, the enemy, that's killing us. No, it's our ignorance that's killing us. Because if we put down half of the things that we do for entertainment and recreation and put it more into the wisdom and knowledge that is needed, we won't have to be the minority, but the majority of the economy. So what we need to do, what I plan on doing as I build, you know, help build God's people, because they're not my people, they're God's people. And it's to take them to their king, to his kingdom. I don't have a kingdom here. So it's to take them to his kingdom and to for them to possess the land that was given to us. And like I always tell my members, and I hope they are on the line and they can attest to this, that I teach them that the dominion that was given to us because of ignorance, we don't know how to take it back, and I teach them that. First, the mentality is that if these people can have all this, and, you know, government can be in this much control and people can have that much power, take your power back. How do we take it back? By unifying, by coming together as one. I don't care what, you know, I understand we all have different beliefs, but at the end of the day, like I heard today on the panel about Abraham and what God has given us, it's time for us to take it back. It's time for us to take it back and understand how to take it back. How do we do that? Educate ourselves. You know, I teach my members education. Education in not just sitting down in someone's school or someone's college, but self-education, you know, where we can grow. There's a lot of things, and brother, Ronnie, we have talked. I came out of drug dealing. I came out of prostitution. Everything that I knew in the street, I brought it into the kingdom, but I used it in a different way. So we are all creative. We all have ways of getting ahead. But I hate to say that, you know, again, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat it. We're lazy, and we want everything given to us instead of working for the knowledge of it. You know, it looks easy to go ahead out there and sell drugs, but remember, we had to run from the police. We had to learn how to cut up the coke. We had to learn how to bag the weed. We had to weigh the pounds. We had to know, you know, what if you got 40 pounds, how much you could get out of a nickel bag. You could do the same thing, too, when it comes down to things here in the earth legally for you to also create wealth. So that's what I'm teaching my people. Take your mind. Get out of the job. We're not jobbing anymore. You know, and that's what I call it. You want to go get a job? You want a job? Okay. You know, as you see, Job got double for his trouble, but he had to go through some stuff. So take the knowledge God has given you, the wisdom and knowledge that God has given you. Everything in your head is an idea, and let's capitalize off the idea that the power that God has given you to create wealth.
Yes, ma'am. That was well said. Beautiful answer. Yes, ma'am. A beautiful answer. Very powerful answer. And we thank you so much, dear sister. Now we will go to Brother Andre to see what Brother Andre had to say and what your movement will be doing so that. You know, we can better our people and their state, you know, their mental state, also their financial state, you know, and their living state overall, you know.
Well, appreciate that, Brother Ronnie. Once again, it's an honor to be speaking with the young, gifted, and black. I mean, I'm just so excited. I'm about to explode. So I just want to thank Pastor Norvell for her comments. I just want to say, you know, piggyback on what she said a little bit about it's time for us to unify. My biggest thing is we have to unite. We have to unite as a people. Unity is the answer. It's the only way that we win. I say that time and time again. She also said we need to take it back, you know, and that's something, too. That's a model that's being used around my house, around my communities, take it back black. We got to start taking back our communities. But to answer your question, the first one was, what do I think about those statistics?
Yes, sir.
Those statistics, you know, they burn me up inside because, again, this is a passion of mine, and I want to add on a statistic. In 1860, 4 million slaves in America, 287,000 blacks were free. We owned one half of 1% of the wealth in 1860. Here we are in 2013, and we still own one half of 1% of the wealth in America. That's a problem. Okay.
Yes, sir.
In the Asian community, their income is $55,000, average median income in America. In the white community, average median income is $53,000, $54,000. In the Hispanic community, the average median income is $32,000, $33,000. In the black community, our average median income is $19,000. Okay. So why is that? Well, this is what I found out. We at Young Black Wealth Builders, this is what we found out, is that 1 out of 10 Asians own their own business. 1 out of 34 whites own their own business. 1 out of 54 Hispanics own their own business. But 1 out of 104 blacks own their own business. There's a big problem there.
Yes,
we're not going into business. Okay. One thing I've learned that I grew up in the inner city, and that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I didn't like the conditions that I grew up in, and I always had a purpose. I wanted to figure out what the problem was first, and then I needed to do something about it. So your second question was, what are we doing about it? And I want to keep my – I have a tendency to go on and on, so I'm going to try to keep it brief and keep it short. what are we doing about it? Young Black Wealth Builders, what our purpose is to go into business. My background is network marketing. I'm in the network marketing business. That's what I do. But our goal, and we have two phases, phase one and phase two, is to get people into business for themselves. Why did I go into network marketing? Because I didn't have a lot of capital to get into business. I didn't have a lot of money to do that. Network marketing is where an average person can build an above-average income and below-average time. Our youth can get involved with it. Anybody can get involved with it. You're going to learn some marketing skills. The great thing about it, it allowed me to become a reader again, to learn how to start reading and growing my mind and figuring out what's going on in our community. So I got a hold of some books like Black Labor, White Wealth by Claude Anderson, Marcus Garvey, Life and Lessons About Business, Blackonomics by James Klingman, Message to the Black Man, Elijah Muhammad. Okay, got a hold of my Bible, Powernomics by Dr. Claude Anderson. So started Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, Understanding Business. The thing is, here's the problem in our community. Here's what I found, is that when there's no money flowing in our communities, the money's not circulating in our communities, that's all the money is going out of the community. When it doesn't circulate, then our communities die. One problem is we don't have businesses. So as we build businesses in our community, then we can start raising up the economics. Then we can start providing jobs. Then we can start raising up our youth and doing a lot more things. I'm going to stop right there.
Yes, sir. That is beautiful, beautiful answer and well said, brother. Well made out plan, and I pray, inshallah, I pray, inshallah, he blesses you with many more blessings to keep doing what you're doing, because it sounds like you are very passionate about our people and want to see us in a better state. And so we thank you, dear brother, for all your hard work and your striving.
Thank you.
And, you know, just to touch on what brother said, one out of 104 blacks own their own business. You know, that sounds like we just consumers to me, you know. And you can blatantly see it, you know. We buy up everything. We buy up everything, but we create nothing, you know. We don't have no produce, you know. We just consuming everything like a fat man, you know, just eating everything. He getting a hand in everything, but he ain't, you know, producing. And producing is production, you know. You're supposed to produce, you know, reproduce, you know, make things, create things. And we will not, you know, we were made creators since the beginning, you know. God is our Father. He is the creator. And how can't we create things? It's a reason, you know. It's a cause for every effect. And these are just the effects of something bigger. And so what we have to get down to is the big cause, you know, the real big cause that is holding us back from learning and excelling. Because you can know a whole lot. You can know everything, you know. But if you have no vision, you know, if you don't even believe you can create anything, you don't have that faith, you know. A lot of our people have to see it done, you know, before they can even start to do, you know. It's all about, you know, having a vision. And, you know, having a vision and then making it move, creating something, because everything that was brought into creation was first an idea. It was first a vision. It was first either a dream, and then it was made manifest into existence. So we need to, you know, help our people better get ideas and better use their brains, you know, instead of, you know, it's deeper than just having knowledge, because when you say knowledge, we have to get a certain knowledge. You know, our people are in a position where they just can't get any old knowledge. They need a certain knowledge, and that knowledge is knowledge of self, who they are, the original man, you know, the children of God, you know. Then this will give you what you need, you know, that fire up under you that will, you know, it'll make you at least believe that you can do something so that you will even start to get up and try to do it, you know. But if you feel like, if we started feeling like we the Negroes, the niggers out in the street, you know, and we can't do much, all we is limited to is certain things, and we study under this trap and this hook and this trap of Satan. See, I won't blame nobody for, you know, some things that our people that won't do, but it is a cause for everything that is happening. Our people are not just lazy by mistake. They are not just in poverty like this by no mistake, you know, because everybody lazy, you know. It's some people that want to work, and they work their butt off, but they never get rich or wealthy. It's because, you know, the lack of knowledge of, you know, unity, you know, coming together. That's right, like Andre was saying, you know, we must come together. That's number one. That's one of the things the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said. We must come together. You know, we must unite, pool our resources, and do something for self, you know. And so that's a beautiful answer, brother. And we thank you again. And now I want to give our brother, student minister James Muhammad, we're going to give him a chance to touch on the questions.
Thank you, Brother Ronnie. First of all, let me say how wonderful I feel, how joyful I am to hear my brother, my young brother Andre, and my dear sister. I did not get your name. However, I heard your words and felt your spirit, Sister Bridget. Yes. It is hope-inspiring, and it's reassuring that our future is assured. The statement, of course, the statistics that Brother Ronnie was reading was from the 30th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was clearly outlining the deplorable conditions statistically where employment is concerned, where education is concerned, where ownership of wealth is concerned as it relates to black people. But the question is, how did we get like that? Because certainly we can decry the condition, complain about the condition, and even illuminate the condition. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to go to the root of all things, because when we deal with the branches, that is to say, that is a byproduct of the root, we don't get to the problem. We only get to the byproduct or symptoms of the problem. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated again in the 32nd installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, titled How Blacks Became a Consumer Nation. He states, money in black hands seen by the enemy as a weapon of mass white destruction. He poses the question, how did we become a nation of consumers? Did you know that is learned behavior from our experiences in slavery and then the sharecropping system? But we must know our history to understand it. He continues, when most blacks emerged from slavery, most of us tried to get as far away from our former slave masters and their plantations as possible. We even set up more than 60 all-black towns where we had our own government and began a strong tradition of do for self. And I want to stop right there. The death blow to black independence was and is integration. While certainly any people have a natural desire to be accepted in the society at large that they are a part of or in the environment in which they live. However, when a segment of so-called Negro leaders saw an opportunity of inclusion, which actually manifests their mindset that their value was based on how close a proximity they had to the former slave master, they fostered integration. That was a death blow to our independence. Out of necessity, because we were excluded, in order to survive, we became entrepreneurs. We had to build our own towns. We had to establish our own businesses. We had to have land, and we had to supply our own needs. And so the do-for-self tradition, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes, was of a necessity. Segregation. Without the oversight of our former slave, I'm sorry, and many of these 60 black towns, he continues, were in Indian territories. Did you know, he writes, that the native people have lots of land and resources, mineral strength today? But the enemy is right on Indian land, taking the gas, taking the uranium, taking whatever their lands have and giving them nothing. Suppose we and our native brothers found a way to unite, and we help them with the knowledge we have, and the land is there, and we help. However, brothers and sisters, as I move toward my concluding remarks, you can't go to your brother with the mentality of your former slave master to take advantage of others. You have to go with the mind of one who wants to serve them, and in so doing, you help yourself. Guess what? The minister writes, when the enemy saw us building those 60 towns, did you know they helped to destroy all 60 of the towns and began to set up a series of laws that came to be known as Jim Crow laws. Their purpose was to return blacks as close as possible to the state of slavery that we had previously been in, and most important, to force us back into the cotton fields to keep the cotton-based economy from collapsing. Under these wicked laws, money in the hands of blacks was treated as though it was a weapon of mass white destruction. Under Jim Crow, whites made it illegal. I'll say it again. Whites made it illegal to sell property to blacks, and blacks were forbidden by law to sell their own farm products without written permission from a Caucasian, thus criminalizing black business enterprise. I will repeat that. Thus criminalizing, meaning it was a crime to establish and to engage in black business enterprise. We couldn't get justice in the court systems because they came up with a law that said Negro testimony would not be accepted unless that testimony was verified by a white man. A white man could walk into your home and take whatever he wanted, including your cotton or corn harvest or your daughter or your wife, and we had no legal recourse.
Right.
All of this was done, and it was not even considered a crime. Also, if blacks tried to save and invest their earnings, their money could be confiscated. You didn't hear me. Their money could be confiscated. So under Abraham Lincoln, blacks established something like the Freedmen's Bureau. Notice the past participle of the verb to free, freedmen's. That's not something that we did for ourselves. That's something that somebody else did for us. We never freed ourselves. We were freed by them, and therefore we're still singing, "We Shall Overcome." You're not free, the minister states, until you know the truth that will set you free. Let me stop writing or reading right here and just encapsulate and sum up what the minister is saying in this previous reading. They made it illegal for us to invest in self, to trade with self. And therefore, the monies could be, by the laws that they legislated, they could be confiscated if we engaged in such activity. So what was the result of that? Spending the money as fast as we could was encouraged. We couldn't invest it. We couldn't trade it. We couldn't buy land. We couldn't do anything that remotely represented black financial independence. So it was deduced that the best way to get the most out of our money was, once it got in our hands, we had to get it out of our hands right away so that we could at least take advantage of the value of that money's spending power. You see, the condition of black people is not by accident. It is by design. And those that are responsible for that condition, while they like to blame us for as being welfare recipients, lazy, not willing to work, not willing to invest, not willing to establish business, they blame us for that. But their hidden hand of culpability, their hidden hand of responsibility is behind their backs, and it makes us look to the world like we are lazy and shiftless and just will not or are unwilling to take advantage of the opportunities that other ethnic people find when they come to America. But it's their fault, brothers and sisters. And if we're going to solve the problem, we've got to know why we are the way we are, how we got there, and we've got to call the enemy out for his part in the conditions under which black people now live in America. And once we understand from whence the condition came, then we can truly and sustainably solve our problem. And so I'm so happy, as I conclude my statement, to hear my dear sister Bridget, how you're talking is just magnificent. And my brother Andre, I mean, I can rest easy. Well, not really. I can't rest. I have work to do until I'll rest when I reach when I'm in the grave. However, I can be assured that with minds such as have been expressed on this broadcast, on this show, our future is secure. You just got to multiply yourself, sister. Multiply yourself, brother. Teach and train and pass on the principles that you have learned and have taken advantage of. I am so proud of both of you. Sorry for being long-winded, but, you know, you made my day. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, dear brother. That was well said and very beautiful. And
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah.
Very nice piece of history that explains a lot of what's going on today. And so
right.
I would just like to go and say, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I was just saying I was agreeing with you. I was just saying right.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Allahu Akbar. And so I just want to touch on one thing, you know, that was very beautiful, what brother had to say. And so it gives a lot more understanding, you know, so people, you know, they don't judge, you know, because even Jesus said, he said, be understanding before judging. And so that's what we have to be more of, you know, and we have to have knowledge, but we have to have the understanding of knowledge, you know. And so also, some may say we must get knowledge, right? And so to get knowledge, you know, it means like who are we supposed to get knowledge from, you know? That's the main thing that we should have to address, you know, who to get the knowledge from, you know, because the people who we have been seeking knowledge from is not giving us the knowledge we need to go for self. They are giving us knowledge that will keep us up under them, working for them, begging them for a job. And so that's why the cry for, you know, over 50 years have been, you know, justice and jobs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I just want to quickly say something that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in the Day of Reckoning, Wrath of God, 1993. He said, going to America's schools and learning from universities and colleges is worthless to come out with a degree that you can't get or guarantee you a job with afterwards. And,
That's right.
You know, the minister says, it is fraud, it is perpetrating, it is like going to a used car salesman and buying a car that looked real good and very nice, but it didn't come with a motor or have an engine in it. And that salesman can say, yes, it works, here it is, here's the key, and you find that even with the key to make the car move, you still can't get anywhere or you're not going anywhere.
Mm.
You can sit in it, you can roll the window down, you can look good, and you can look like you're driving and going somewhere or someplace, but if you're unable to drive the car off the lot, then the salesman is guilty of committing fraud.
That's right.
You can look out into all the fields of businesses, but you can't go into none of them, you know. You can't do business for yourself. You have to seek jobs after going through all these years of school and getting knowledge, but you still can't provide yourself or your people with the jobs and things like that, you know, justice, even justice and jobs. And so you know, another thing that I want to point out is that, you know, since 1913, America's debt has gone from $2 billion to more than $16.4 trillion. So if these people are the ones we are seeking knowledge of how to handle money, of how to handle economics, and how to, you know, run businesses, these are not the right people to seek knowledge from because they don't even know how to handle their own money. They have the whole U.S., United States in debt. $16.4 trillion in debt, and we are going to their schools to be taught how to manage money, you know, and things of that nature. So I just wanted to, you know, to just say that, you know, that, you know, if the best of the best can't teach them how to manage their money and how to, you know, do it, they're not going to teach us rightly, you know. Definitely they're not going to teach us rightly if they're not treating us rightly. So, yes, sir. So, you know, I just wanted to touch on that. And now I would like to go, before we go on, Sister Gidget, can we play a song just to give everyone a break? And we'll get right back into it after the song. If we can.
Yes, sir. If you like, I didn't plan to play anything, but I will.
Yes, ma'am. If you can, if not, no problem.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I like your song so much, so I'm going to play your song, Brother Ronnie. Here we go.
All I like, bro.
Muhammad give you knowledge that you can't say pop it. He my father already here, let alone coming. Let every ear hear, he be blowing like a trumpet. I use my music like a gun and I'm a dunk. Hey bro, I do this for my God and all he come. Yes sir, you best believe it, make no assumptions. You trick or treat on Halloween, it ain't about pumpkins. You feed your mind the wrong thing and it be nonsense. He call you dead cause you kill your own conscience. The innocent and right and wrong in one's conduct. Rebel against Allah, who knows where you wind up. And for you devils, my God says your time's up. That food from my father, that heavenly water. Brother, stop been ignoring and started to smart. He took murderers and made a man and true father. Just imagine what he can do. What if you rob? He can show you how to eat to live if you bother. Show you how to keep bringing fear with no problem. So many deviating be laying under the needle. The son of man, he's the son of the people. A result, a consequence, an interference, and he won't stop until we equal in a pair.
All of my people, all of my people, just wanna be equal, wanna be equal.
Strong taste. When you a man, you belong in your own place. Message of a lie, teach you how to hold your own weight. One shot, one home, sister, one grace. One God, one stone, brother, one faith. Every knee shall bow, every knee shall kneel. Every beat in the wild, everyone shall heal. Standing black and proud, in peace we'll live. And any praise to God for the life we're given. You got power, all you gotta be is will. You got space, all you gotta be is build. And if you got knowledge, then you gotta feed the children. We got some in college, but a lot of my people kill. I'm a fisherman, man, and all I gotta be is real. You raise me up, so I can see the fires on the sill.
All of my people, all of my people, just wanna be equal, wanna be equal. I'm coming to get ya. I'm coming to get ya. All of my people, all of my people.
them, so I say salam now. They keep us stressed out, they wanna dumb down. They pick the best out, they let some drown. And they can't stand my sight, no they can't stand my sound. This be that good fight, and I'ma stand my ground. Stand my ground. All of my people.
Brother Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
That was off the chain, but I'm not even going to tell you what I was doing when I was listening to the music. Sister Gidget knows, though, and she better not say anything.
He's over there crip walking, y'all.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you, dear
that was beautiful, brother. That was beautiful. Absolutely. That was absolutely beautiful. I'm definitely a fan of rap music, serious rap music. That was fantastic, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Put a lot of time into it. Just one of my many singles to come for the people, for our people, and just... you know, to bring an uprising of conscious music and, you know, a music that will teach our people again, like the edutainment that some of our people brought to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
a while ago. And so now I'm just trying to, you know, bring that back into our existence, you know.
Yes, sir.
So, inshallah, is more of that to come. More where that came from, brothers. Thank you so much. And at this time, I would like to question one of our panelists. And Sister Bridget, that would be Sister Bridget. I want to ask what inspired you to become, you know, an independent businesswoman and, you know, what inspired you to write your book, you know, Change from the Inside Out, you know, what gave you the motivation and what really inspired you to become independent, you know, as a businesswoman, and what are some of the things that helped you out?
Okay, what inspired me, and I'm glad you asked that so I can explain something about my background. I am born in Jamaica. I was raised in America. I came into the States at 5 years old by my grandmother. My grandmother was a hairdresser and in Jamaica, and someone sponsored her to come to America. Well, in less than 1 year, she owned her own home. She was a maid, and she lived in Harlem, New York. And when she made up her mind that she had a vision, a task, and made up her mind that she was going to do something and make something out of herself. You know, Jamaica being another one of the poor countries, anyone comes here, our mind is made up. So we do not stay in a certain mindset that we are defeated and it's nothing but going to the top. And she taught us that. Though she was a maid, she owned her own trucking company. She owned land. She owned stocks, bonds, mutual funds. She owned several homes. And everything they paid was cash. You know, they paid cash for their home. I tell people I'm the only one that lives in an apartment because every one of my family owns their own home, own land, and have things set aside, even farmland. So we were taught not to give up, not to, you know, accept, you know, just mediocre. If we're going to do the best, and my grandmother used to say this, if you're going to be a whore, be the best whore. You know, I used to think that was harsh with her, but I'm like, okay. But she said, anything you're going to do, do it good and do it that no one can defeat you. She taught us that no one is higher than God. No one is higher, you know, and she served, and you really would have to read my story because I came out of a background of witchcraft, and it was for them to get control of what they wanted. I didn't want to live like that. I saw the money control them, not them control the money. So it was anything they had to do to get the money. But it wasn't totally bad because it made me the woman I am today. And this is why my actual statement, and I do apologize to anyone that they were offended when I said lazy, the statement was made because I had, you know, my grandmother taught us, do not go hang around black people. And I'm very transparent, and I always tell people the story. And I'm like, okay, why cannot we go hang around those black people? And she's like, they have no ambition. I'm like, okay, what is going on? Why can't we hang around them? And when I left home, I ran away from home at 16. I said, I want to go and see what is it that they're talking about as us as West Indian that we couldn't migrate with them and hang around them. And what I found out, I said, well, Grandma, they're just misunderstood. Who's going to teach them? You know, who's going to teach them what we've learned in Jamaica? Who's going to teach them the difference? And what with my child growing here, my daughter was conceived by my pimp. At the time, her father was my pimp. And she was conceived, I was, you know, by him, and I had to go through, I went through the physical abuse, I went through the dragging in the street and the, you know, and a lot of different torture. When you read my book, you will see that I went through excruciating things, but I remember, I'm not going to stay here because that's what I was taught. No one shall defeat you, and that's what my mindset was, tenacity. I have a tenacity that no one, I don't care what color you are or who you are. I think I was the hardest person in Christianity to submit to anything. The only person I submit to is God. And that's what, but I had to learn. And through submitting to God, I learned how to submit through authority. But I also remember that I don't have to bow down to anything that is going to make me feel beneath them. So that's what helped me. Now, the reason why I wrote my book is written, and I told people, I don't care if anybody didn't write, buy my book, but I was not going to let my daughter and my grandkids go through what I had to go through. I was going to leave them something. And as the Bible says, you leave your children, you leave an inheritance for your children's children. So that's their inheritance. The greatest thing I can leave them is the wisdom of God. And now you have my, I'm not going to say, you know, I could say my, the Bible was left with stories and how everyone overcame. And I want you to read the word, and you now have your track record, your history to know that your mother, the grandmother, you know, I have two grandkids, another one on the way, that I had to come out of molestation at 3, molestation at 5. You know, my grandfather molested me, rape at 9, 13, I'm pregnant 8 times, abortions, this and that. I wanted you to see, I came out of cancer, I came out of diabetes, and the God that I believe in, that he freed me from this, and you can also be free. First, your mind has to be free, and everything else will be added on to you and planted to you. See, my grandmother them had money, but they died from cancer. They died from the diabetes. So I wanted a well-balanced life for them. The word said, beloved, I wish above all you would be in health and I wish above all you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So if my soul is contaminated, my soul is unhealthy, I will never enjoy the things of the fruits of the land. So I wanted to get to the root to destroy the rotten fruit that had grown in me so they can live an abundant life.
Wow. That is a beautiful testimony and a very, very hard trials and tribulations that you went through, and I'm just very honored to have you on and just to hear your testimony and how you got through it. You know, if you know you can make it through all of that, you know, that just shows. You know, that makes some people little struggle look like, you know, it ain't nothing, you know, compared to the things that you have been through. And so if you can still be, you know, have that motivation and that integrity and that, you know, that go-getter attitude and still be at peace with yourself and still at oneness with God, seeking his face. And so, you know, it's just a beautiful thing to hear your testimony and hear what you have came through and that you have not crashed and given up, you know. It's just beautiful, and we thank you so much, and I pray that God Allah uses, continue to use you in major ways, and so and continue to bless you on your journey in your life. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
I also wanted to jump in, Brother Ronnie, with that, and just the bridge of that was just, it was very beautiful and inspiring, you know, for you to share your story, and, you know, not even for you to share it, but, you know, the strength behind your words and, you know, the power behind your words. You know, you never know who's listening to you on the other end of this call or, you know, online or whatever, however they're listening, but, you know, just the strength that you have in your testimony is just, you know, it's phenomenal because it really sheds a light and it really shows hope that, you know, that you have to have that faith and you have to strive and you have to get up and believe and you have to do the work, but it is possible. And, you know, it really is beautiful for, again, you to just testify in such a strong manner where, you know, you're not even looking down on yourself. You know, you know what has happened. You know, you've gone through your trials and you have came out on top, and that is a beautiful thing. You know, because it's so hard for people to envision it, you know, for themselves. So, you know, to hear it coming from someone else, and you know, your story may be 10 times worse than the next story. You know, where they can't get past theirs or they can't see beyond theirs. And to hear yours, you know, at the fierceness that you give it, you know, and the strength and the power and the passion that you give it through yours, you know, it gives a lot of hope. And, you know, I just think that's a beautiful thing that, you know, Allah has blessed you to be able to, you know, pass that on to someone else.
Yes, I'd like to also express my admiration, dear sister. An appreciation for your testimony, absolutely inspiring and fantastic. And oft times, you know, prophets and messengers of God are not forged in a situation where there is no adversity, but they're forged out of the furnace of affliction. And God wants to instill in those whom he's going to use in a big way for the benefit of others, he oft times subjects them to what we might think is the worst kind of affliction. But when you come through it all, and God brought you through that, dear sister, And he intends, in my humble opinion, to use you in a magnificent way. So I thank Allah for you, and I encourage you to continue on the path that you're on. You have yet to achieve what God intends for you to achieve on his behalf, but it's something great. Something great that will have far-ranging impact, not only on black people, but I believe all people, the entire human family of the planet Earth. What a wonderful testimony, dear sister. Wonderful.
Hello, Akbar. Yes, ma'am. Again, beautiful Sister Bridget Novell. Very beautiful testimony, and thank you again, sister. And so I want to go right into a question for our dear brother, Andre Simpson.
Yes.
And, okay, my question to you is, what motivated you, to start yourself own business and to really, be serious in it and, to start to create something for self and not be, the average to join what's already created, but to create something for yourself. What helped you, what inspired you to what gave you a vision that you could work on, what helped give you the vision that you could work on?
Brother Ronnie, Brother Andre, please excuse my interruption. I didn't want to just hang up and leave without asking permission from our beloved host and, of course, my co-panelists that I could be excused as I have to attend to something in preparation for tomorrow's meeting. So, dear brother, may I be excused, Brother Ronnie, Sister Yashira,
thank you so much,
Sister Bridget,
for all your
Brother
insight,
Andre. It's my honor,
sir,
and privilege. My honor and privilege. Keep up the good work. And Queen Aziza, I will talk with you later on, inshallah. May Allah continue to bless you all. Thank you. Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All praise is due to Allah. It is my honor and privilege.
Yes,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Have a beautiful, blessed night, dear brother.
You as well. All of you. Keep up the good work. Let me get off this phone before I become mushy.
Mushy.
all right. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. So, brother Andre, I guess I could sum the question up by saying, what is your business success story? Some of the things that motivated you and some of the challenges you went through to get where you are today.
Okay. I listening to Sister Norvell talk and same thing here is I believe that your mess ends up being your message and your test ends up being your testimony. And like I said, I'm from Rochester, New York. I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters. So we grew up in a household with a lot of children. My mom's a teacher / stay-at-home mom, and my dad drove truck. And we made it the best that we could, and I love my parents, and they did a great job of raising us. All my brothers and sisters have grown up and done well, but we lived in the inner city, and I saw all the stuff and all the mess that was going on in the inner city. And when you're trying to raise 8 kids and feed 8 kids, that's hard in and of itself. And I've always wanted us to have a better lifestyle. You see other things around you, just like our youth see other things around. They see the wealth and they see all the stuff, you know, that they could possibly have but they don't have, that's not going on in their household. And, you know, we struggle sometimes financially. And that was something that I really did not like. So it's always been a goal of mine to be an entrepreneur because I knew entrepreneurs make unlimited income. That's the way, that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur and being able to go for it. So that's what motivated me. Another thing that motivated me was that I didn't want to be, my goal is not to be wealthy on my own and then turn my back on my community. Since we had 8 kids in our house, we always had all the kids in the community at our house. We were taking care of them. I have, you know, so many other brothers and sisters. And my goal was not to be wealthy and then not turn my back on the community just turn my back. And that's what I did not like. And I said, if I'm going to be wealthy, I'm bringing my community along with me. I'm bringing everybody along with me. And then we're going to go back and we're going to build the community. So that's what motivated me. But my thing was, I was always on this, trying to figure out what it is, what did I need to do. And I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a social worker. I needed to work in the community, but I wanted to make a large impact. And like I said, I decided to go into business. I decided to get into network marketing because I saw it's a way that not only I can build wealth, but it's also a way that my community can build wealth, that our youth can get involved in building wealth, and so that I can train up other entrepreneurs. And that's just the field that we chose to get involved in. And we have a vision. We're still building. We haven't achieved that goal yet. We're not millionaires yet, but we're working very hard to get there and raise up more millionaires. Our goal is to produce 50 millionaires across the country. Our goal is to produce 500 people making 6 figures in our team, in our organization. And we want most of that team to be predominantly black. That's our goal. And then to take that, which is phase one of our goal, and phase two is to turn around and take that wealth and invest it that we make and invest it back into building our community, ending, we won't end poverty as it is, but we can change the world in our lifetime, and we know we can do that. But it's just a thing of learning, growing. I got a hold of books. I'm a constant reader, constantly learning, constantly putting something in this brain. I turn the television off. I don't care who's playing basketball. I don't care who's playing football. I don't have a favorite team right now. It's all about building wealth in our community that can be transferred from one generation to the next. I saw that 3 generations, my great-grandmother, my grandmothers, you know, they passed, loved them. But financially, nothing was passed on from one generation to the next, and it stops. It stops with us. So we're raising up a generation of young black wealth builders, so those that want to build wealth and then be able to use that wealth to rebuild our communities. So that's what motivated me. What helps me, like I said, is to continue to learn, continue to grow and get better at my craft. And that's it.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Sounds very good, brother. Like you have, you know, a plan, and you applying yourself pretty well. And so, you know, I pray that Allah continue to bless you and bless you with many more blessings, brother, because you know, you are my brother, strong black man trying to, you know, be independent and, you know, and not trying to be independent, being independent, you know.
Thank you.
That's right. And I thank you for that, brother, because our people, we have to lead by example, you know.
Absolutely.
When others don't know, you know, we need those shepherds, you know, to lead us by example, you know, no matter who you are, you know. If you're trying to be the best you can and you're leading in the best way, that you can, then you are a shepherd for those that don't know, you know, how to get the things that you have seen to be successful with. And so I thank you for, you know, striving and really applying yourself, you know, not settling for less, you know, taking the time out to read, because that's something that our people really fail to realize, that that's what we need to do. That's where all the knowledge, the real true knowledge is. It's inside of the books, and you have to read and get deep into them, you know, to find out some of these things. And so, it definitely brightens your mind, and can definitely tell that you are an intelligent brother, you know. And so we thank you so much, brother. We thank you so much for being a part of the show, and thank you for that beautiful testimony of yours, you know, which a lot of us can relate to, you know. From having, you know, four and five brothers and sisters in the house, and, you know, they all got to eat, and then, you know, some of us have to deal with the single mother and things like that. You know, the father is not there, and so, you know, well, you know, to see young brothers like you, it motivates me, and, you know, of course, all of our other, you know, young brothers that's out there that, you know, wonder how they can do what you're doing. And so, right now, I want to advertise your business and everything. And also, I want to have you touch on, what do you mean when you say your plan is to build capital, and, what you exactly be doing in the inner cities and things like that. And first, I guess I'll go ahead and let you touch on that, and then I will, you know, kind of advertise your Facebook and everything for you, or you can also do it yourself if you want.
Okay, that's great. We have two phases of what we're working on now, because a lot of my mentors that I listen to, great mentors that I learn from, one of the things that I noticed that they've lacked to be able to make things happen, amongst a bunch of other things, was the capital. The capital to be able to do what it is that they want to do. And I didn't want us to have ourselves in a position where we have to depend on anybody, where we have to ask the government or try to get this grant or get this loan or nothing like that. I wanted us to build our own wealth and do what we want to do with our money and not have any reservations, anybody to stop us. So we at Young Black Wealth Builders, we have a team, an organization. Like I said, we're in network marketing, and that's what our business consists of. And our goal is to, like I said, is to build a business. I work in video communications, and we want to build our organization all across the country, all across the United States and other Caribbean islands as well. But at the same time, and once we complete phase one, then we go into phase two, which is taking that capital, the wealth that we have built, and be able to use that to whatever your gift is, whatever you feel that you need to be doing, whatever it is that you want to do to rebuild our inner cities. And what do I mean by that is, real quick, is capital and consciousness. A lot of times we have I know brothers and sisters that have capital, but they don't have a consciousness to go and help the communities. Then I know people that have a consciousness to help the communities, but they don't have any capital whatsoever. So we want to bring both of those together and make something big happen. And what I mean by that is beauty supply stores. We want to own beauty supply stores. There's, you know the statistics. I don't even need to go into that. We want to open up multiple business restaurants. Even here in Tampa, we don't even own a restaurant, and you know we like to eat, you know. Mm-hmm. So why we don't own the corner stores? We want to buy those corner stores back. We want to own our own grocery store. We want to build our own mall. Why can't we have a community that's thriving? That's what we want. And we want to create a prototype that here in Tampa that can be duplicated all over the country and wherever else is needed. I have brothers that contact me in from the Caribbean island who wants to know how we plan on making this happen. So it's definitely needed, and we all know that it's needed. We're on Facebook, Young Black Wealth Builders on Facebook. We also when you start heading towards your vision, whatever it is your vision is, once you start heading that way, you might not have all the resources and everything that you need, but know this, things are going to start falling in line for you if you're walking in your purpose. And I ran across an organization called Black Wall Street, and their same goal is to start rebuilding our inner cities and get money flowing, supporting black-owned businesses, which is very, very important. So I joined up with Black Wall Street. I'm president of Black Wall Street Tampa. And then I was nominated president of the regional director of the Southeast region for Black Wall Street USA as well. So I'm over Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. So things just falling in place for us right now. So we are very excited about what's going on, and we're just looking for young people that want to be entrepreneurs, that want to do something big, and we will train you in business, teach you how to do it. So that we can do. It's all about do, taking action. No more talking. No more all that. Let's do something. So that's
yes,
what we're
sir.
About.
That's right. That's right. Oh, did you want to say something, sis? Go ahead.
Please, I'm here, Brother Andre. I just wanted to first again thank you for your testimony. And as I was listening to it, what really stuck out to me in yours was, you know, the inspiration for me was the fact that, you know, it wasn't in the family thing. It wasn't, you know, from generation it came to you, so, you know, it was there and you just continued it. You know, this is that example of the vision that, you know, we keep talking about and having that vision. So it's like, you know,
yeah,
your family
right.
has had it, but you had it in you to see that, you know, I may not have it right now, but I want it. I will have it, and I'm going to work to get it, and, you know, here you are today. And it's just, you know, that really speaks volumes to me. It really, truly does. Because, like I said, you know, people really haven't grasped, I think, you know, the fact of if you don't have the vision, you know, that's where you end. That's where it stops right there. If you can't see yourself somewhere, you know, in the future, you don't have any type of plans, you know,
right.
That really is really inspiring because with me and my family, you know, my mother was telling me that I think my great grandfather was a limo driver, and you know, he had his own businesses and he had land and things like that. But you know, coming down to our generation, you know, there's not much to show for it. But that's not going to stop me. You know, that's not going to stop us from, you know, pushing our dreams and reaching our goals. And this is something for me that's inspiring, because it's like, you know, you don't have to start from the top to get to the top. You know, you don't have to have money waiting for you to now pick that money up and use it. You know, you can really start from ground zero and you know, get to where you want to be. So, you know, I think, you know, that is inspiring to me, and I'm sure, you know, we have listeners out who you know, can agree to that.
Absolutely.
And I just want to thank you again for that, you know, for
thank
that
you.
Beautiful testimony. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, dear brother. And I would like to promote our brother's business. And our brother's name is and he is the president and founder of Young Black Wealth Builders. His name is Andre Simpson. That's Andre Simpson. And he is the president of Young Black Wealth Builders. And you can call him. His office number is 813-395-5272. That's 813-395-5272. Is that correct, brother?
That's it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And you can also go to his Facebook, and that is Young Black Wealth Builders Takeover, right? Or
yes,
Young
sir.
Black Wealth. Yes,
yep.
sir. Young Black Wealth Builders Takeover at Facebook.com. And also, you can email him at Andre at I'm buildingwealth.com. I'm buildingwealth.com. Andre at I-M-B-U-I-L-D-I-N-G wealth.com.
Got it.
And so we thank you again, good brother, so much. And it is we are very honored, pleased to have you on. It is very inspirational, and as I said once before, you know, to see young brothers, you know, doing their own thing, you know, creating something, and you know, it's just another example of a great mind, you know, that uses your own ideas, expressing your own ideas and bringing them to the light, bringing them to existence, you know. That's how God created us, you know, in that nature, you know, to create our own, you know. We were born creators like that, and so it is good to see, you know, some of our brothers in their true nature, you know, doing what we were supposed to do, you know, as kings and queens over the world and over the nations of the earth, over the universe, you know. And so I'm very honored to have you on, dear brother. Thank you again.
I'm just as honored. I appreciate the opportunity. It's a pleasure, and you're doing a great job, bro. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm just trying to be like my big brother, you know. And so back to our sister Bridget, Norwell, we want to give you the time to also promote any of your businesses. I know your Facebook is Bridget Norwell, Pastor Bridget Norwell at Facebook.com.
It's Bridget Norwell. It's Miss MRS. Bridget Norwell. So that's facebook.com/Miss Bridget Norwell. You will see Bridget, Servant of the Lord Norwell. So when you see that, that is my Facebook, Bridget, Servant of the Lord. But my business is my full profit business is get the411.biz. That's get the411.biz. We specialize in email marketing, social networking. This was business that God had given me after my not-for-profit, the Movement Central Florida. So get the 411. We do logos, web design, advertising, street promotion, public relations, press release, and flyers, brochures, graphic design, and more. So if you need printing, business cards, banners, all that, that's get the 411. When you call in, you can call in at 407-434-1141. That's 407-434-1141. Or send us an email at info@getthe411.biz. That get the411.biz. I'm sorry. And I think I said .com. It was get the411.biz. Biz is for business. And my baby, what I'm doing now, I'm also a certified parenting consultant. And as I told my testimony, I said I will never see another child or anyone go through what I went through. So my other business is I'm a licensed certified parenting coach. It's called Begin Parenting from the Inside Out. That's Begin Parenting from the Inside Out. We teach you different methods of parenting, the authoritarian parent, the permissive parent, the oscillating parent, and at the end it's called Breakthrough Parenting. We teach you how to make the shift in yourself from the old to the new, moving from being outer-directed to inner-directed, and from fear to love, conditional love to unconditional love, and so on. We also teach you how to move from the power struggle to cooperation, old to the new, and move from your authority and parents, your authority and power to shared power and team building, win-lose conflict, and win-win cooperation. This this is also a relation building program. So if you want it for your family, if you're in a relationship, you're not, you and your husband, or, you know, you just cannot get it right at all, always breaking up with people in relationship, can't get along, toxic relationship, this is also a program for you to get into. Breakthrough, we move you from the breakdown. You have to break down to break through. Breakdown is to understand what you're going through, and then to get to the breakthrough. We also use techniques like identifying the behavior. We normally listen and we look at the outer behavior, but we teach you an iceberg method. There are four steps of understanding the behavior. You see the behavior up top, but at the bottom of the iceberg is the needs, the thoughts in the middle, and the feelings. These are the things that are covered. So we show you how to get to the what's covered. But we only see the uncovered, but you get to what's covered. That's the root. Now, understanding the source of behavior, we also have a chart that we teach you that the negative attributes of fear, your fear, what you're really fearing, or love. And you know how that works when it comes down to the anything the enemy, the inner you can fight is the fear within. So we teach you what you're going through, from anger to upset to ashamed to furious to hurt. Where is the fear coming in? I call the five defensive mechanism. You have fear. Fear turns into hurt. Hurt turns into pain. Pain turns into anger. And then all we see is people run around in rage. And they use the rage to destroy. So we show you how to get to that and bring you back into the center of love. And we take you to six steps of problem solving. We seek identifying the problem, teaching you responsibility, understanding the problem, agreeing upon a situation, and it goes on. Those are the six steps. And after that, we also show you the stages of love. We teach you from stages from 1 to 6. There are 6 stages of love that you are supposed to be administrating to your children. And even when you become in the faith of a Christian or whatever you are practicing, you have to grow differently. So you come from birth to 4 years old up until 7 to 11, and that's your concrete black and white thinking. So we show you what is really going on to the root of your problem, of your thinking, and move you out of that type of thinking by changing, identifying the problem to get to the behavior, to learn. For you to do that, you have to learn the pattern. When you learn your pattern, you can change your pattern for the better. Our classes, our workshops, is from 8, we have 8-hour workshop classes from Friday through Sunday, and we have 4 hours, 5-week classes. That's once a week for 5 weeks for 4 hours, or you could take our 2-hour classes for 10 weeks, and that's our 10-week classes. And that program right there, you can reach us at 407-494-3411. That's 407-494-3411, or contact me at Bridget Norvell, N-O-R, Bridget with one T. Just spell Bridge, put a T at the end, and Norvell is spelled N-O-R-V-E-L-L @gmail.com. And that's it. And I also take private coaching and consulting services. I do have a consulting services, so I do private coaching, and I'm going to tell you like this, I'm not an easy coach, so put on your seatbelt, because the ride might get bumpy. So, that's it.
Well, all praise is due to Allah, sister. You do a lot, and I'm sure that a lot of people writing down this information, helpful information, anything to help growth and development in our community.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear sister. Thank you for so much. And, you know, once again, you know, from the sister's perspective, you know, we have, you know, you are a very hardworking, you know, and very hardworking and striving sister, you know, and I pray that Allah continues to bless you and in your strive and in your work, in your hard work, and in your you know, in your journey, you know. And I pray that, you know, you are able to just, you know, fulfill your destiny, and that, you know, you just continue to inspire our young people, inspire, you know, other moms and other mothers and queens of the earth, you know, to be more, you know, like yourself. And so, you know, like Brother Minister said, you know, we just have to have more of you, you know. Once we have more of you, then, you know, our babies and children are born with, you know, left, they are left with vision. They are left with plans, and they are left with agendas. They are left with things they can pick up, you know, instead of being left with nothing to start all over, you know, like as if we didn't have somebody living before us, you know, generations before us and things like that. So I thank you so much for your hard work and, you know, just your dedication to the people, to yourself, you know, and foremost to God, you know. We thank you so much, and continue to keep doing your work. It will, I pray, inshallah. I know it will work out and it will pay off for you, and I'm sure it already is. You are a very blessed woman, and I just thank you so much. I thank you so much, dear sister, for joining us and for connecting with me today earlier. And also, you know, this sister is a beautiful, you know, a beautiful sister that, you know, was willing to join our show, you know, at last minute notice, and just wanted to put that out, you know, that, you know, that's when you know you have sincere people that are willing to, you know, help our people in any way, in any cause, in any way, in shape or fashion. They are ready to do whatever they can to assist our people in the knowledge and, you know, whatever they can help and tell you that they went through and their testimony and their journey. And so we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much, Sister Bridget.
Thank you.
May God continue to bless you.
Brother Ronnie? Brother Ronnie?
Yes, ma'am.
May I speak on the topic really quick? I just want to get some things off because it's on my heart as far as the economic blueprint and any poverty and want.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Right ahead, sister.
Crazy. So, okay. I just wanted to address, you know, to the listening audience, and, you know, whether you're a believer, whether you're not, you know, I just feel like, you know, the importance of self-knowledge is so important that I feel like if everybody was to grasp how important it was, you know, maybe the progress would, you know, pick up a lot. And I can just think of a little parable of, you know, an orphan child who doesn't know himself or herself, and then they find out that their family, their mother and father, you know, are royalty, that they're kings and queens. You know, when they get reconnected to their bloodline, it's like, you know, I'm living a whole different life. I'm no longer shelter to shelter and home to home and on the streets or here and there. You know, when I knew who I was, that changed my whole entire life. So just looking at some of the, you know, stuff that everybody has already, you know, touched on, Sister Bridget, Brother Andre, Minister Brother James has already spoke on, and I just wanted to go over some other things, just about the awareness. I feel like, you know, it's no longer about raising awareness, because, I mean, everybody knows that they need money, and, you know, they're short here, and they want this and they want that. So the awareness is there. It now it's just to the point of, you know, getting the understanding, because the solution is here too, but it is just, you know, the waking up of the people, you know. Helping people to understand or getting them to see you know, to ask questions or just so they can see the solution and start to make the efforts to, you know, ending poverty, ending want, and, you know, doing for ourselves. And something that the minister had said, I'm not sure when, I think it was on his Loyola University tour, but he was just speaking on, you know, how an individual man or woman cannot raise higher than his people. You know, no matter how much schooling one individual has gotten or how successful one individual is doing, if your whole class, your whole group, you know, your whole ethnicity is not doing well, when someone sees you, they see your whole people. So, you know, you getting at the top of the mountain, you know, that shouldn't just be it. That shouldn't be your write off, and, you know, you feel like you have, you know, I mean, it's good, you know, that's good, but, you know, you want to help your community. You know, it's all about that unity, and that's something that, you know, we keep talking about, but, again, that's something else, that unity, everybody seems to understand the word, but not in its full essence, where they understand it to the fact where they just unite and do for self and, you know, are successful. And I just wanted to, I'm trying to see where it was exactly that somebody had said something about, there was just so many different things that everybody had said. It was just so beautiful. But, you know, it really is just so important for everyone to understand, you know, one, the self-knowledge and, you know, uniting and just knowing the history of, you know, black people, period, because a lot of people think our story starts off with slavery. You know, our history is far beyond that. And, you know, just on something that I think Brother Andre was saying about in, you know, in the 1860s, you know, black people were doing really well. Black people were successful, you know, once we were, you know, just coming out of the slavery stage. And I have something here in Defending Farrakhan, if I could just read over a little bit. It's on page 41. And it was just starting off saying, for 14 years since the end of slavery, whites had watched their former slaves make incredible gains in American society. Emerging from triple darkness, black people had embraced their newfound freedom and started to aspire to become business people, teachers, doctors, and lawyers. As slaves, they had always performed a stunning array of skilled trades as fine craftspeople, artisans, home builders, and mechanics. Indeed, Jewish slave dealers Jacob Cohen and son were publicly advertising black human beings for sale that were skilled carpenters, pastry cooks, and even engineers. Their ads can be seen along with hundreds of others in the newly released Jews Selling Books, Slave Sale Advertising by American Jews. And with these skills and their freedom, the once slaves moved into critical positions in the U.S. economy. They thirsted for knowledge and development and were educating themselves at a remarkable rate. Black pioneers set up dozens of all-black towns to concentrate on their own progress away from their angry and vengeful former slave masters. Blacks had even gained a measure of political power in Southern society and used that power to enact some progressive legislation that included attempts to end the rampant government corruption, the enactment of better methods of accounting for public funds, the establishment of public schools, and even the repealing of discriminatory legislation against Jews. I'm just going to stop there, you know, but I just wanted to read that because, you know, Minister James was just saying about the Jim Crow laws and how those things, you know, were put into place to stop a lot of things. But because the history is there that we can and we have done, we now have to come out of that mentality. Yes, you know, the Jim Crow laws were there, and it did put a hinder on us. But, you know, what is it going to take for us to say, okay, yes, this happened, it did happen, now we must unite and we must change our own circumstances? Because, like, you know, Sister Bridget was saying, we can't, and Brother Ronnie, I believe, as well, was saying that we can't rely on this government. You know, the government wants to have, like, a bill passed for 3 million jobs for the 20 million Americans here. So we can't rely on a government who, you know, is in debt and can't provide jobs for its own people. But we are a nation inside of a nation, and we can do for ourselves. So a again, it is so important to understand, you know, seek for the understanding, you know, ask God for understanding on, you know, the things that you're hearing, and spread awareness to other people, you know, people who may not, who, you know, may not, aren't so willing to get on the calls with you or things of that nature. But it's just important to, you know, really reach out and raise awareness on, you know, on different levels now, on the understanding and just getting a deeper knowledge of it all. And I just really wanted to just say that to our listening audience, and, you know, the panel seems to be pretty well informed on these things.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well said, sister. Thank you so much. Well said. And you are right. You are very right. You know, we are beyond what the problem is, and, you know, and what we need to do to become successful. Now we just got to move to it. We got to move to it. We have to just do it. You know, we have to stop trying, and we have to start just doing it. You know, like, you know, like that Nike saying, you know, just do it. That's all.
Right.
That's all we got to do. Just do it. Because one thing that we have learned in our lessons, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change the condition of themselves.
That's
and
right.
So we are the agents, like Brother Minister James was saying earlier at the event down in Orlando. You know, unity in the community. You know. He said, we are the agents. We are the agents of change. We are our own agents of change. Nobody else is going to change it for us. Even God tells us in the Bible that he helps those who help themselves. If you're not doing nothing, God is not going to live your life for you. You know, if he see you taking a step, then he will take two more steps for you.
Right.
And so we have to start taking steps. And so, you know, and in order for us to make power moves and take power steps, we have to move as a unit. That's the that's the key word in unity, unit. You know, we have to move as one and not, oh, I'm over here, I got my funds, and, you know, that brother down the street, I don't know him, and he don't, you know, you have to get him involved some kind of way, because together we're going to make it. And I believe it's on Brother Andre Simpson's page, he says, team, you know, together everyone achieves more, together everyone achieves more, you know, if we want to make power moves, we have to move as a unit, and, you know, the logo or the theme today in the Orlando event was unity in the community, and even in the word community, you have unity. So,
right.
You know, it's supposed to be one. It's not supposed to be divided. And this country is the masters of division, the masters of deception and perception, you know. So the people who founded this country, I mean when I say that. And so we have to be the masters of unity, the masters of coming together. We have to be whatever they are. We have to be the opposite of that if we want to be successful. And so... And also, we have to just study some of the ways he has become successful. He didn't just come successful by not moving, not working. He did a lot of things. He worked, you know. They worked to be successful. So that's what we have to do. We have to move into, you know, and be our own agents of change. And we have to come together and unite. Come together, pool our resources, and work as one. You know, because God doesn't see you as separate men. He sees us as a whole, one family. And so, and when I say one family, I'm talking about the original man, the black man of America, the black man of the universe. We have to work as one, you know, against the evil and wicked people of this world. We have to be our own agents of change. Together we can do it. So that's all. And so that was beautiful and well said, Sister Yateria. And
I praise Allah.
Yes, ma'am. At this time, our show is about to end in about 2 minutes. I would like to take the time to thank our brother Andre Simpson once again for coming, you know, and being a part, participating in our show, and also We want to thank our dear sister, Sister Bridget Norvell, for being a part of our panelists. And also, Brother Minister James Muhammad, we thank you so much. You guys were the best. You guys were the greatest. And it was a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much. We would love to have you again. Thank you so much. Once again, just thank you. I am going to close us out in prayer. And also,
Brother Ronnie, before you close,
yes.
Can I share something?
Yes, ma'am.
Real briefly.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
No problem.
You know, I just wanted to share with the listening audience because most people, they know me because, you know, I'm on the air 7 days a week. However, I just wanted to let the audience know that before Brother Ronnie came on, I was really thinking about doing away with this show because it was so hard to get the youth to actually come on, especially on a Saturday night. And I just thank Allah for giving me patience to just wait for the right young people to come along to host this show because it's called Young, Gifted, and Black. And of course, I'm too old to be calling myself young, so I didn't want to be on here.
Cool,
but Brother Ronnie, I just wanted to congratulate you because I know you didn't know this, but every Tuesday we get an overall report for each show. And this, I think this past Saturday, last Saturday, was your third broadcast, if I'm not mistaken. But I do know that your first broadcast you had, I think it was 947 listeners. And I wanted to congratulate you because for a new host, you are really knocking them out of the box because last week you had 5,723 listeners, and that is amazing for a new host. So I just wanted to congratulate you, dear brother. You are making me so proud. All praise is due to Allah, and I can't thank you enough for all of your effort and all of the energy you and Sister Yatira are putting into the show and just the professionalism and everything. So I thank Allah for you both, and I just wanted to share that with you. So once again, congratulations, dear brother.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I won't take it all the credit for myself. I have to give some to my dear sister, Yateria X, who has been doing a wonderful, beautiful job. Thank you so much, though, sister. Thank you so much. And that is beautiful to know.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, we want to get them up to 10,000. 15,000, 20,000 listeners next week. And and also, before we close out, I don't know if we had time. I wanted to do just a short little poem I had wrote.
Absolutely. You go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am, because I know it's a tradition everybody must say. Rap before we end, but I don't know if our brother and sister is into that.
Well, hey, it's only one way to find out. You gotta ask him, Brother Ronnie.
That's right. No, that's right. So, Brother Andre, would you like to do a freestyle before we close it out? Brother Andre?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's your choice, dear brother. It's a tradition that, you know, after every show, at the end of every show, all of the panelists have to do a freestyle, but we won't hold it to you if you don't feel up to it, dear brother.
I have to hold a freestyle.
Yeah, you know, like, bust up a rap, Brother Andre, you know, a rap, a poem. Quote.
Oh man, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
You got me on that one. Nah, I'm not too much of a rhymer on this one. I'm gonna pass it like that, but definitely be ready for the next one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We look forward to having you for the next one. So what about you, Sister Bridget?
I was going to let y'all do that one. But I was trying to look for a quick quote, but a rap, I think you'd be good enough to do that for us.
Okay, okay.
Got me on
so
that.
If you had a poem or anything,
okay, I'll do a quick quote. This quote, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a Chinese scholar. He says, "Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering mastering yourself is true power. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich." And that's it.
Huh. I like that.
Yes, ma'am.
And
that's
that is Lao T, that's LAOTZU, Tenzu, Tenzu. So you can look it up. It's on my Facebook.
All right, thank you so much, dear sister. That was a very enlightening, deep poem. That's what Master Rob Muhammad did, by the way, master himself. Yes, ma'am. So, all right, I want to go right into my little poem. It's just called Soul Catching. Okay, I say, my people need to wake up. It gets deep, the undertaker. Too much work to do, so what you need a break for? I was made in his image, that's my physical makeup. You see, the devil was made by Yakub, and that's Jacob. And if you know nothing, that's what you'll do, straight up. I say, you gotta work it out to get strong enough to lift the weight up. I say, hold on, my bad. Forgive me, y'all. Okay, I said, I'm here to let my brothers know they all kings. Forget the small things. The God in you has power over all things. Yes, sir, I'm trying to purify your hearts till they all clean. Yeah, I'm high off life without reefer. And I'm trying to let all my sister queens know that they queens like Latifah. You gotta treat her like so, that's your wife, don't beat her. And all of these rappers, alive, I'ma eat you. I say, you gotta seek it for yourself and get your history. I'm living proof that God ain't a mystery. You see, this is a brand new sound, this is a brand new symphony. Yes, sir, I'm here to remove all devils from the ground eventually. And if you can prove me a lie, I'll get down and kiss your feet. You see, I'm willing to die, dead I'm willing to be, just to open up your eyes so the children can see. And this is the plan, because I owe it to God and the original man, the original me. Because they're claiming to be your friend, but they put you to sleep, hiding his hand, steady pushing the key. The Bible says, go not the way of the heathen. With the Christmas tree. And that's all I got for right now. Just a little something, a little peace of mind.
That's a little poetry snap for you, Brother Ronnie. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I would like to take the time to thank you all again, all of our panelists, Sister Aziza, Sister Queen Yateria, thank you all so much for all your efforts and all of your striving and hard work and just compassion for our people. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you all. And I would like to close this out in prayer now and hope to hear from you back again next week, next Saturday. And also, I would like to acknowledge our minister, Minister Louis Farrakhan. If you are in the Nation of Islam, or if you are not in the Nation of Islam, we would like to ask and suggest that you attend your local mosque tomorrow. It's going to be a very urgent message. Brother and our the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking. It'll be an urgent message to all the followers and believers. And so we ask that you attend your local mosque in your area, wherever you are. Thank you again, brothers and sisters, listeners and guests, and thank you so much. And I would like to go into our closing prayer now. So I will ask you all manner of prayer. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master W.F. Farad Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we serve, and Thee alone do we beseech for aid. Guide us along the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed favors, not the path of those upon whom Thy wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray after they have heard Thy teaching. Say He, Allah, is one. Allah is He of whom nothing is independent, but upon whom we all depend. He neither begets, nor is He begotten, and none is like Him. And I bear witness that none deserves to be served besides Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is His true servant and last apostle. Ameen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. All of our panelists, Brother Andre Simpson, Sister Bridget Novell, thank you so much for your enlightenment and your comments and everything, your questions, our questions and answers. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful discussion. Hope to hear from you back again next Saturday at 9 p.m. Young, Gifted, and Black. Thank you so much. And assalamu alaikum to all of our dear family. And have a beautiful and blessed night.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.